At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good President's Day, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too. SteveBick.com. And day four, really, of a busy race weekend starting on Valentine's Day. I hope you had a really pleasant one. And concluding today with particularly the action at Oaklawn, which should be really good. You've got the three important graded stakes, the Razorback particularly coming up deep and competitive. And we're going to handicap it in hour three. Nick Tamaro, who we couldn't get to on Friday, but Nick, pretty regular visitor when it comes to holiday Mondays. So we'll get Nick in here to look at this group of races and, of course, the last of the weekend's Derby points events. The Southwest group of nine came together on Friday. And I did see, I think it might have even been Nick. Might have been Nick that asked the question. How did the $400,000 races in New Orleans, how did they get gigantic overflow fields? This is a $750,000 purse. And the points, obviously, is a big, you know, is a big part of that answer. This is a 10-4-2-1 versus the 50-20-10-5s that went on Saturday. So we'll look at this. You've got the Asmussen trio coming back in here. Gold Street Shoplifted, Silver Prospector. It sure feels like Gold Street, for those of you that listened to the replay this morning from Ed Peters' Friday visit, you know, sure feels like the Gold Street is one of those horses that you kind of gravitate against based on the way opening weekend went at Oaklawn and the ability of the front-end horses inside and front-end to benefit. You know, not to say that he's not a nice horse, because he is, but you really do sense coming out of that Smarty Jones, you know, that if you were chasing and you were outside, it was obviously very hard. And there were a couple of winners Friday and Saturday. There were lots of the ones we talked about with Ed. And there were two nice prices. There was Mojo Man on Saturday after the undefeated filly for Mac Robertson. The ringleader won, the Dixie Belle. You had Mojo Man come in $20 plus. And on Friday in that opener, you had a handsome number, Dapper Jack. Yeah, there it is, 11-1. And some other ones ran okay, but those two were. And yesterday, I kind of lost track on the Oaklawn front. Wasn't paying as close attention yesterday as Friday afternoon and Saturday. But anyway, Oaklawn, a big part of our conversation today. Johnny as well in hour two. We'll talk his weekend, his thoughts. Happened to have had a nice speak, made me think of this. We had a wonderful dinner party last night at Danny Osteria, the sort of pop-up, the pop-up dinner parties that Avi and Rhoda Friedberg put together and invited us for dinner. And it started to occur to me actually in the afternoon. I said, I wonder if the Haskins are up. And the answer was yes, the Haskins were up. So we got to see Steve and Joan and also Skip Dickstein and Linda. So we had a nice group of, actually ended up, I think, with nine of us at Danny's. Very nice. A place just as busy here in the middle of the winter as it is during track season. So thanks to everybody for coming out last night. We had a really pleasant, lively evening with lots of horse talk. And actually, the Friedberg showed a picture. They had a baby the other morning, out at Stonegate at Bill Johnson's place. They had a baby that's the size of a small elephant. It showed a picture of an exaggerator that dropped, and the thing weighed 140 pounds. I mean, never seen I don't think I've ever seen a picture of a bigger foal. Yeah. So best of luck. Avi and Rhoda have had some bad luck, actually, like all of us have had at one point or another. It's hard to try to do that and not have problems along the way. But knock on wood, we haven't heard, about a month into, 5 weeks into foaling season. And the difficulties have been, seemingly kept at a minimum. So keep it that way. I'll use that actually as a segue before we talk about more racing, about a just horrific and tragic situation. I'm hoping that we will connect with Eric Fadlovich later this morning, Megan's father. For those that did not peruse the internet Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, just a horrendous tragedy involving Megan and her boyfriend, trainer Cody Davidson, into Friday morning, after midnight, on Valentine's Day, and car accident that saw Megan thrown from the vehicle. And when Davidson went to try to check on her, went over a Jersey barrier and fell to his death. And the whole thing is just numbingly awful. Megan is going to be okay. And I imagine her, her toughness as a jockey contributes to this. Badly broken leg. She's already had a couple of surgeries, some broken ribs, and et cetera. But she's at Ocala Regional Medical Center, and it's just, the whole thing is heartbreaking. There's, when we get to her father, there's fundraising for both her and for Cody. Cody Davidson from Bloomington, Indiana, and is trained in the region. Mountaineer and Ohio, Belterra, and so forth. And I was working down in Ocala with young horses, and has got a reputation as being terrific with problem horses. And two children. He's got two children, a daughter and a son. There's no words that are really adequate to describe how tragic this was and is, but hearts and thoughts are with Megan and for her recovery, and Cody's friends and family. Megan's been on the show with me going back a couple of years to the Ivan Vasquez Ohio horses. Most notably, Cat Launch, who she rode late in his career. And I think I actually called her at the time. Cat Launch may have been retiring, but she was in the midst of a year with Jack's Fact, another Vasquez Scioto Farm Supply runner, and he had rung up just a series of wins, and she had been she was his whole most of his career, his regular rider, and I also reached out to her when Cat Launch sadly passed, and you know she's won over 500 races, I think about 500, and has been well received anywhere she's gone, and she literally will go anywhere to ride. You think of her mostly, I think of her first and foremost at the Ohio tracks, at Mahoning, and you know, going back, Beulah and River and Belterra and Thistledown, etc. But she's ridden everywhere, and you know, most recently this past year at Mountaineer, where I imagine that's where she and Cody Davidson came together and have been dating for quite a while, and at this point, and just unbelievable. So we hope that her sister Danielle, I reached out to, and she provided me, said the dad would join us. I'm sure he's down there in Ocala, and we'll get an update and hope. And just because the racing community does this whenever there's need, they'll undoubtedly rally and support Cody's children and Megan for whatever her financial needs are going to be here in the short and intermediate term. Very, very tough. On the racing front, let's try to focus on that. And racing, it was everything we kind of were anticipating. Starting on Friday, actually, and that began with Gouverneur Morris getting back and running well. It seemingly had to be ridden along by Johnny Velasquez. But it 1-2, and it was kind of, you know, it's funny, a 5-horse field, and the gates open, and what happens? Oh, Dudley Square, the other Pletcher, drops Daniel Centeno. But the horse did not interfere with the running of the race at all. On they went. Untitled, I thought Untitled ran okay. I'm sure that Gary Barber and Mike Sebastian and Cassie were not disappointed. 88 buyer for Gouverneur Morris in victory, and he was running, you know, he was finishing well at the end, mile and 40 yards, and the two of them were well clear. So this a good step toward the 3-year-old campaign of Gouverneur Morris. Then Friday night, Wesley Ward ended up sweeping those two stakes, the boys and girls 3-year-old opportunities at Turfway. Invader wins the Battaglia, the Warfront, and Karak, another Caracanti. Amazing. Here they come. It's unbelievable. Last week, you hadn't heard a word about Caracanti, and then all of a sudden, the Caracantis win like three. I think that this is the third stake, and I think I saw a couple of maiden winners as well. It's pretty funny. They seem to come in batches. Invader, one of the things that was notable, neither of these were favored. I mean, Wesley certainly sends out plenty of favorites when he, you know, with the ones he's run and left in northern Kentucky and in Kentucky. But Anna's Fast, who kind of chased and really did not, you know, really underperformed in this spot, goes off at 6-5, 7-5. Karak, the easy winner. I just went to the, as Jay Privman says, went to the front and improved position. Karak at 7-2 and 11-2 on Invader. And same thing, not right to the front, but chasing High Holy, who really did look, you know, like the horse to beat. But Albin Jimenez kind of stalking and then took over and drew off. So that was Friday, and then Friday gave way to the big Saturday action, most notably at Fairgrounds. And the two Risen Stars, I think, still being kind of digested. I mean, from a fig standpoint, they were moderate. Mr. Monomoy, you know, stayed on. I think, and Modernist for Bill Mott ran well for the Y Gods. Of course, Mr. Monomoy, the sibling, Monomoy Girl, and in this case with Sal Cumin and with Michael Dubb. It sure felt, and I'm anxious to get some further views of this. I saw where Marcus Hirsch did not feel like the track was speed favoring. Kind of felt like, sure felt like it was. It sure felt like you weren't helped if you were too far back. That's for sure. But the two winners, both, you know, rack up points, and you know, just looking at their running lines, it tells you, I think that, and looking at the chart, the way, you know, Enforceable and Farmington Road tried to close. I mean, nobody was able to close, make up much ground at all in the second division. But Enforceable and Silver State, you know, a good second and third, you know, chasing Mr. Monomoy home. And we'll see where, you know, we'll see where this all goes. I mean, some of the disappointments, and there were, particularly with Anno Dor and Blaine Wright, you know, kind of scratching his head. He had no real excuse and nothing visibly evident in Anno Dor's, you know, even money performance. I mean, he certainly looked early on, you know, he was outside and stalking, and if the racetrack did contribute, you know, being wide and chasing may have, you know, contributed, but this was not a great performance. And obviously, I don't think British Idiom's performance was bad per se, but she also was trying to rally. It was sitting kind of mid pack. Finite's performance arguably was the best maybe of the 3-year-olds on the day. The Winchell homebred, and you know, this is the Winchell that we've talked about a little bit, because it's our friend Deb Easter from Virginia. She's a partner in here. There's a host of partners, actually. Tom Ryman and Bill Dixon, and they're having a good time. And obviously, Finite, the Munnings filly. This is a serious horse. Those were the highlights, obviously, the 3-year-olds. However, one of the best parts of the weekend, to me, was all the kind of rank and file trainers that succeeded. We're going to talk to one of them first after the break, Michelle Lovell. And Michelle sent out Just Might, a Justin Phillip that she co-bred, to win the Colonel Power. It's a tremendous win. And Michelle was just one of 7 or 8 horsemen that had wins over the weekend that I couldn't help but draw attention to on Saturday night. And I, as certain names kind of grab me, Michelle, Steve Margolis wins the Big Al, the Al Stahl. How about in Maryland, where Jonathan Maldonado gets his first stake win with that Naughty Thoughts, who we talked about a bit, I thought was coming in there live, and she ran great. Kelly Rubley, Always Mining, that was terrific, the Campbell. Leah Giamatti won the Broadway on Saturday, and then my man, Siaka, yesterday. How about Chowda fighting off all comers? John Terranova as well, Killy Beg's captain, won the Pelican, and John also broke a maiden. A little bit of an upset, actually, that maiden winner, because there were a couple of fancy bred runners in there. Mack Robertson and you, it feels like they've got another nice sprint in Philly. Ring leader, 3 for 3. So I don't know. It just, to me, it felt like a really fun weekend, because there were a lot of stake winning connections that, you know, make you feel good. It's good for the game when you know the middle sized barns are winning on Saturdays. It's healthy. Can't be the same people all the time. Lots more to dig into, including the situation that involves the Levamisole positives and penalties and kind of awkward handling and administration. Joe Sharp, of course, with the, what, 7 or 8 of them, and then the late breaking post-weekend, post-Saturday revelations about both Silver Dust and Blackberry Wine. And we'll get into that. There's a bunch of jurisprudence to deal with, but let's deal with the racetrack results first. Back after this, Michelle Lovell joins us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
What career track are you on? University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Can you hear them talking about us, telling lies? Is that a surprise? Can you see them, see right through them? They have a shield, nothing must be revealed. It doesn't matter what they say. No one listens.
We're back at the races, about 25 into hour one, and our lips are sealed about all the margaritas that were consumed on Saturday night. Michelle Lovell, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Steve. Had a headache the next day.
those are headaches that that everybody that, likes, though.
Exactly. We'll take it.
Unbelievable. It was certainly exciting enough, you know, to see you win that race. And it wasn't really until later that I realized that you would co-bred Factor This. And actually just Might.
Right.
Talk about the origins and you know, how you came to be involved with the mare and the breeding, and we'll build it up from there.
Okay. Well, Dr. Robert Griffon is a longtime owner of mine, and he sent the dam as a two-year-old to be started by us, and so we broke her and campaigned her, and she was always in the money. She was such a neat horse, and she had gotten, she actually, when I moved my stable from racing in Texas and at Louisiana Downs, I applied for stalls at Fairgrounds that first year, and I had like 35 head of horses in training, and they gave me 12 stalls at Fairgrounds, and I was like, well, I have to cull some of these horses. And she happened to be one that I brought, and she was the first win I had at the Fairgrounds, so that was pretty special. And then she won a few for us. We lost her in a claim. We claimed her back. We ran her again, won with her, and then it was time to retire her. And I talked to my partner. Well, he was my partner then. He was just my client. And I said, she ran hard for us her whole career. You raised her, so let's make her broodmare. And he said at the time, he's like, I don't think I should be buying any green bananas. And because he's, you know, he was getting up in age a little bit. And I was like, oh, come on, you can do this. And so we did. We bred her, and we had two babies prior to Just Might that were winners for us. And he was the best one out of her at the time. The farm in Lexington, Gunston Hall, raised all of them. And they really loved this colt. And he was big and very solid-looking animal, and we thought we'd get him to the races early. And he decided not, that was not the plan. So it took a bit. And that's how we ended up being partners, is that he let me partner up on that mare and all her babies, and so we're happy's on him, and he's been an awesome client and partner. So it was a big thrill because he doesn't get around to the races very often. He lives in Friendswood, Texas, which is near Houston, and it was close enough, and his son, which is a partner with him on Griffon Farms, brought him over for the races, and it was a delight for him to be there to experience it. He had never actually met him in person either, just in videos and pictures, and so it was a lot of fun. That was what we do it for, is to have experiences like that. So, yeah, it was great.
That's tremendous. All you have to do is look at his record, and he debuted late in his 2-year-old year, and it took him a while, and he also came off the turf a couple of times last winter at Fairgrounds, the early season weather woes, then you started to get into a nice beat, and he really stepped forward, I would say late in the year, and now he's basically, performed brilliantly these two in a row, 299 buyers in a row, the allowance victory, which was off the turf, and now, coming back, getting back on the grass and posting another 99. I mean, it feels like, and he's a gelding, it feels like, this is, kind of the first step toward even bigger things.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he ran a tremendous race in his allowance race. Like, we've been hoping for him to step up like that, and he's knocked on the door almost every single time he's run. And, at Churchill, we had a couple of setbacks, and we had an epiglottis surgery done on him. He worked his best work of his life, and I said, let's scope him anyway. He's doing really good, and scoped him in his epiglottis and trapped him. I was like, oh my goodness. So we did surgery on him, and we had castrated him previously to that. So he'd had already a couple months off with all this. And I was like, oh my gosh, goodness, we'll never get him to the races. So we gave him a race at Churchill in late November, right before we got here, knowing he really needed the race, but he ran really good that day. And, anyway, he's just been getting better and better, and he's just a big, solid, very sound animal. And, we're looking forward to his future now.
Boy, I can relate to that that pair of surgeries. We've got the Looking at Lucky now gelding that very similar. We had, he had a ridgeling issue, and they had to go find one of the testicles, and so we same thing, we get him gelded and he recovers, and we send him out, and he same exact thing, he entraps, and it's identical. And so we're kind of waiting for him. I hope that he can, he's ready. In fact, he might enter today for Saturday, but,
good.
Yeah, it's,
well, good luck with him.
Thank you. Well, this is obviously a really fun story, and, with the breeding involvement, I mean, the satisfaction associated with, with basically creating them and bringing them along the whole way is really special.
It is so exciting. Yeah. That mare, unfortunately, we lost her when she foaled out the now 3-year-old filly that I have. She's run a few times too. She's a nice little filly. She's a foal to Just Might. When she was born, we were so excited about her. We knew she was coming along, and when I got the phone call from the farm about 10 o'clock at night, I go, we got a baby. And Larman, which is the farm owner, co-owner with his father, Dr. Coles, he was like in tears saying, yes, we have a baby, but we have a problem too. Your mare is in bad trouble. She had taken the intestines of the mare out with her. And so we had to euthanize the mare. It was a very sad moment. So I called my partner. I said, Doc, we got a problem. I said, we're going to have to put our mare down. And And I said, I guess we're out of the breeding business. And he's like, yeah. And so it was a sad moment. And then they called us back in about an hour and said, we got a filly. And I called my partner back. I said, I guess we're back in the breeding business. So, yeah, she had three boys and she had a filly. Her last one was a filly. So that was at least a good part of the story. Yeah, and she's a nice filly, too.
Her name's Dynamite Gift. I'm just looking at the produce.
Yeah.
You know, the produce
and the
record.
Story behind that name, which it makes me so happy, is that Lisa Coles, Dr. Coles' wife, she sent me a picture of her the next morning. Like, they had a night watchman woman bottle feed her and stay with her all night long until they got a nurse mare there the next morning at about 7 o'clock. And so Lisa had sent me a picture of the filly and she was all done up in her little blanket. And she said, I'm so sorry you lost Dynamite Bay, but what a dynamite gift she left you. And I said, hey, if that name is available, that's her name. And that's how we got the name. Yeah. So it's a good story. We love it. Homebreds are, it's just amazing when they, and they earn their keep. And actually, he holds us stable together. He's the main man that he allows the other ones to keep going and training. He pays their bills. So it's fun to have one like that for sure.
Well, given his interchangeability on the main track and on the turf, what do you have in mind as you look ahead?
Well, yeah, he has done well on both. And so I guess the next step, well, we didn't even think past this one. We were just hoping to get a piece of it. I thought, well, you know, we discussed it and thought, you know, he'll be really tough in a two other than here because I studied who had run in it previously and it was coming up in the book, but this stake was right before it. And I thought, you know, if you agree, we'll at least nominate and see how we look. And, of course, we were more in line 20-1. I thought, gosh, you know, it wasn't a fluke that he ran so well. And we're going to be, you know, stepping up into some pretty deep waters because quite a few of them, you know, had already won stakes. And, you know, we thought we'll roll the dice because he's doing really well. He's not going to embarrass himself for sure. And, you know, we can always go back to a two other than if it's a fail. So that's how we ended up staying in the race. And, you know, we just had some faith in him that he would get a piece of it. And, boy, he just ran lights out. It was so exciting. And Colby, he scared me to death because he rode him beautifully. But he didn't get to asking him until, like, inside the eighth pole. And that horse was Chaos Theory. He was, you know, winner of it last year. And I was like, oh, my gosh, please don't run us down. It would be horrible to get 10 seconds at this meet. So, but, yeah, he did a great job with a colt, too, or a gelding. So it was fun.
And you mentioned, the numbers, and you went in with 9 seconds, and so winning a stake balances those scales pretty well.
Sure, it does. It really does. Knocking on the door is awesome. Saving conditions, we were like, we're tired of saving conditions. We need to get some W's in this barn. So, yeah, listen, sure helped the morale in the barn in a big way.
Oh, it's exciting. The Justin Philip Gelding just might. And actually putting Colby on, and you've got kind of gaudy numbers with Colby Hernandez. You got nice ROI.
He's just a good little rider. You just leg him up and he just does his thing. I mean, he's never really put a questionable or a bad ride. I've never been upset with his rides. He does a great job. And, you know, Gabriel had won on him previously. But he had a call on a horse that's, you know, they really, really like too in the race. And for Joe Sharp, and of course, you know, they ride a lot for him. And I was like, I'm not going to, you know, hold you to this. You know, we'll just put Colby on if he's available. And of course, I think he had real news for Al Stahl, maybe a possible, but when that horse wasn't going to run back, I got Colby, and yeah, I have a lot of faith in Colby. He does a great job for us.
That also begs a question because your main man is laid up right now, Jack Gilligan, and how about an update on Jack?
We saw him a couple of days ago. He his mouth was pretty much wired together. Now he got all his little rubber bands off so he can actually open his mouth just like a quarter of an inch. And I was like, oh, you can stuff some mashed potatoes in there now, not have to eat through his jaw so much. And so, yeah, he was happy about getting that where he can actually move his mouth a little bit. And, of course, he's got lots of broken bones in his face. But really, he's not swollen, and he looks good. And he said he wasn't in a lot of pain. He's just aggravated with his mouth, you know. But he's in good spirits. Bless him, you know. I love Jack, and it's hard to see him on the sidelines like that. But it could have been a lot worse. So he's very fortunate, and he's happy about that.
No, no doubt. And give him our best. And we brought up his dad I'm trying to remember the connection. You know, his father had written about, I think we referenced that for people to read. His father wrote
that piece. Book, yeah.
Well, not just the book,
he
too.
Nice
he wrote a piece, I want to say it was in thoroughbredracing.com, and you know, about he had been visiting and then went home, and then 2 days later the accident, and you know, then he and then Patrick came back. Now it's
yeah, he's got a lot
part
of the
job
support. His mom and dad both came as soon as that happened.
They
come and visited him and stayed in the hospital with him, and I'm not sure if they're still here, but I asked Jack if he went home or if he stayed, and he said, I'm just chilling here. I'm just going to go to the races Saturday and watch all the big races. So he's in good spirits. It's hard. I mean, I was a jockey for a short time, and I remember being laid up and watching horses win that you were riding and had calls on, and it's so hard. It's so frustrating to watch. You know, sometimes it's just better to not look, but yeah, he stayed in good spirits. He's young, and he'll come back.
Well, and speaking of coming back, I want to ask you about a couple of horses that are specifically Sail on Ellen, who's coming back after the career debut about 3 weeks ago. And Sail on Ellen looks pretty live in this spot today in the eighth race.
Yeah, she is. They just took it off the turf, which was not a surprise. Yeah,
okay. You got
right. But she handles the dirt fine, so we're going to run. And her owner, he doesn't come to the races ever either, and he's from the Houston area, and he's flying in to watch her race. So hopefully we have the same kind of good luck. But, yeah, she's a pretty nice filly. We had to take our time with her. She's been super, so I'm looking forward to her. We'd love to win, but hopefully we just have a good race, a good safe race today.
She's an American Pharoah out of an elusive quality mare. Her name's Sail on Ellen, and there's no price. How was she acquired?
I believe that, Mr. Fung went to watch American Pharoah. He sent me pictures of it, I think down in Florida. I'm not really sure what race it was, but he went, and he was so excited. I think he either bought breeding rights or something. So then he ended up breeding the mare, and I don't know if she sold or if he kept her, and he just kept the baby.
Huh.
And he was really excited. I hadn't trained for him for quite a while. And I just got a call out of the blue that he had an American Pharoah he's going to send me. And I was like, that is so awesome. It's my first
that?
And only one I have. Yeah. And so we got her, and she was a huge filly. She's a really big girl. And she just wasn't ready to go on. So we kicked her out on a farm. Marshall Godsey has a farm south of Louisville. And where we turned her out and swam her, and then he started legging her back up, and we got her in. And she didn't have a ton of works at the track, but she had a lot of he did a lot of good conditioning on the farm. He did a great job with her, actually. And she's come along quick, and I honestly want to stretch her out on the turf, because her debut was really good, but her gallop out was extreme. It was really a nice gallop out, so I'd like to stretch her out. So hopefully she doesn't have a great break from the gate. She has some natural speed. I expect her to be a little closer to the first race to the front end, and she wasn't. So who knows? I don't know, but she had a huge gallop out. So, and she's still a bit green and young, immature, but mentally, but she's coming along really good. So we're looking forward to her future, too.
Well, the dam, Dame Mellon, she herself was out of an Irish mare, and she was a black type. She won the perfect sting 10 years ago at Belmont, Dame Mellon. So,
wow. Yeah, her name, too. We struggled to name her. We just named her. She just actually got named, and he needed help naming her. And so the Dame Ellen, I forgot her whole name. Anyway, she that is a person that sailed around the globe, and she was knighted. So she's Dame Ellen. I can't remember her last name, but anyway, that's how we come up with her name, Sail on Ellen.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
We'll look that up. That's just exciting. You know, it's exciting to have a collector's piece that obviously the American Pharaohs are, but they're also performing. I mean, every indication is that this one should stretch out on the grass. But all you got to do is see that best of 71 bullet before the debut on the main track. So.
Yeah, she hopefully
should be okay.
Not mind it. Yeah, hopefully she'll like the main track today. I'm hoping so. So it doesn't look like we'll get any more rain. Hopefully, it looked like we were going to, but I don't know. The track is sealed this morning for training. So hopefully it'll be dry fast by the time races come along. So we'll find out.
Well, and I you mentioned her gate speed. It's very notable. Looking at her work tab, you blast her from the gate almost every work.
Well, she needed a little practice away from there. She's a bit, she always has been just a little bit head shy, so she gets a little bit nervous in there with the other horses. And so we school her a lot. And we thought she needed, you know, one more work away from there. So, yeah, I did tick her away. But we did it in hand the day that she had her bullet work. Jack Gilligan was on her, and she just drug him around there that fast. So I was like, wow. So when we ran her, I thought she'd be up on the engine, and she wasn't. So, but she's just figuring things out. So, yeah, we won't probably have to do the gate work anymore. I think she's got it.
Nice. Well, people should put Sail on Ellen in their stable mail and watch for her today in the eighth, even off the turf. The American Pharaohs are doing both, but it does feel like she'll be tough when they stretch them out. And this is a good race. We'll see how much it stays together. There's some interesting firsters, including the old Wellings with a homebred with Gary Shearer, Polar Sense, big fans of that team. And Amos in here with a second timer, the Catman, Wayne Catalano, has got a firster from By Awesome Again. Greg Foley, that was another of the horsemen. I've said to everybody at the start of the show, I thought it was really notable, Michelle, what a great weekend it was for kind of the middle-sized rank-and-file barns.
It's nice to see, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Greg Foley, though, with that runner-up.
Yeah, we're a Team Foley root. Yeah, we were fans of them, too. So we were rooting them on. Yeah, we're glad to see them on the Derby Trail. That's exciting for them.
Major Fed, and imagine he'll come right back toward the Louisiana Derby. Let me ask you about one more, at least, because Change of Control feels like a big filly in the barn.
She is a big filly in the barn. Yeah, she's super cool, actually, entering her today for a stake here, going 5.5 on the turf. So she finished third last time. But I think she's going to come into this race even better. So hopefully, it's the same players, I'm sure, that we got to run against. So hopefully we turn the tables on them. She was my first stakes winner at Churchill over the summer. So
that's right.
She's super special. Yeah. Yeah. I love that filly. She's just really easy to deal with. She's been just a dream horse to train. Yeah, I'm hoping we get a good draw and have a good run.
No, and she was third. You mentioned the third earlier this year, about three, four weeks ago. That was in the Nelly Menard, and before that, she was actually second in the Panzeretta too at the end of last year.
Right. Yeah. She's doing super. Yeah. She never runs a bad race. She's super consistent and honest. So yeah, we love the filly. She's easy to deal with, and just a pleasure to have in the barn. Her owners have been real good supporters of my stable, and they're always, you know, he claimed her and you know, looking for the broodmare prospect on the end, and she's making her way. So yeah, she's a lot of fun to have.
She's a Fedbiz out of a Quiet American mare, and originally sold as a October yearling at OBS, and Richard Kent bought her as a weanling at Keeneland November in 16 for $27,000, and she grew into a $95,000 yearling. Nick Demerick bought.
Right.
Nice. Yep. Well, Michelle, this is a treat, and thrilled for you to not just win the stake with Just Might, but also, you know, having crafted her with your partner. It's a terrific story, and of course, you got a ton of fans out there that are rooting along. I suppose one disappointment might have been that Just Might didn't run last weekend during the NHC, so that Clocker John and KK could have bet on her, and moved up even that much more in the contest.
Right, that would have been awesome. I would have loved to have been a part of their success. But yeah, you know, Clocker John, KK, I don't know where he ended up, but I know John. He's always right there. I told him the other day. I said, "You're going to win it one of these days." So. Yeah, it did great. But yes, that would have been awesome. Yeah. Surely they would have bet on us, right?
I got a feeling they bet on Saturday. I know John did, so without a doubt. Michelle, well done. You didn't? Come on.
No, I never do. I'm so dumb. I don't know why. I just don't bet on. I don't bet on mine. My assistant did. The owner did. Everybody walked out with a little pocket full of money, and it was fun. So I heard it a long time ago. If you bet, you know, you may, if you don't win it, you lose twice. I'd rather just win my purse, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. The big bet. Yeah. The big bet comes, you know, doing the breeding and doing the, all the work that it took to get,
gamble.
You know,
exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
That would just be happy.
That cost me enough, but he's paying it back. He really has. Yeah.
Well, seems like there's a lot of good things ahead, and this felt like one of those performances that tips the scales in your direction after too many seconds. So, Michelle, continued success. We'll see you Louisiana Derby Week.
You bet. All right, Steve. Always great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Not at all. Michelle Lovell, everybody, and you can follow Michelle on Twitter, _Michelle. Two L's, Lovell, two more L's. There's five L's altogether. Michelle Lovell, always a treat, and does a terrific job. A lot of fans. We'll take a break here. We're coming up toward the top of the hour. We'll get Johnny in here and catch up on his weekend. Later, Nick Tamara will handicap some of Oaklawn, and got a few other visitors lined up. Stay with us. Hour two at the races when we come back.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
ExpressBet's popular and profitable $50,000 Beat the Host competition is back in 2020, and this is your chance to win big. Merely place a live $5 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. If your earnings top the host total, you win. Register once and compete Saturdays in January and February for a healthy $2,000 in weekly prizes with no takeout, rake, or skim. Beat the Host just once to qualify for the $10,000 championship round. New this year, Beat the Host features a challenging and fun cumulative season-long earnings competition with over $20,000 in prizes paid to the top 10 finishers. Whip hosts in all 8 weeks to earn a share of a sweet $3,000 Sweep the Host bonus. Don't delay. Register today for Beat the Host free at ExpressBet.com.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.